This afternoon, we shall study together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Let us read together from verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Verse 14. Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Verse 19. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. Verse 23. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Verse 32. And Jesus stood still and called them, and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? Verse 33. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this particular chapter entails much riches in terms of the spiritual meaning, especially in the parable of the vineyard, where the laborers are paid but a penny a day. Now, keep in mind, my dearly beloved, this parable is hidden to those who do not belong to Jesus, but unto the sheep of the Lord God, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven will be unveiled in order for each and every one of God's children to be able to ingest the spiritual meaning and understand as well as comprehend the laws of the kingdom of heaven. Likewise, in this particular chapter, our Lord also mentioned of one of a precious spiritual law that we all must learn, that is the law of absolute humility and servanthood in Christ Jesus, so that whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Nonetheless, let us begin to read once again and dissect the spiritual meaning beginning from verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now, my dearly beloved, this whole parable are very much interlinked one with another. And first and foremost, until unless you comprehend the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is indeed difficult to dissect this particular parable. And it takes the Holy Spirit to unveil my eyes and explain to me to be able to share with you the detailed meaning of these verses. Nonetheless, let us return to dissect the spiritual meaning of every one of these precious words so that we can comprehend profoundly the spiritual lessons that we've got to learn today. Now, first and foremost, in here, a man that is an householder or the owner of an estate refers to our Heavenly Father spiritually. And as far as the laborers into his vineyard, the spiritual meaning are as follows. Vineyard refers to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ simply because vineyard include many vine, isn't it? And so in John chapter 15, our Lord Jesus Christ described himself as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And I am the vine, ye are the branches. And so you see, my dearly beloved, the word vineyard obviously refers to the work of the Lord God, as our Lord Jesus Christ himself is the vine. And obviously the vineyard refers to the area where each and every one of the laborers, referring to God's children, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, to labor upon, isn't it? And as God's children, we've got to begin laboring in the name of Jesus whenever the Holy Spirit leads us to guide us into his work. Take, for example, we've got to go out to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it is among our friends or our colleague at work, as well as at home or even in the school. And so the very moment the Holy Spirit began to indwell in our heart, each and every one of us are instructed to labor the work of the sheep, as written in Matthew chapter 25. And so in verse 2, you will notice that the agreement is but a penny a day for a payment. And what exactly is the meaning of a penny? Why is it that the owner of an estate, obviously referring to our Heavenly Father, only pays but a penny? What do you think a penny spiritually refers to, my dearly beloved? As I was pondering upon the meaning of the penny, all of a sudden my spiritual eyes were open. Keep in mind that a penny refers to our Lord Jesus Christ and the work of salvation. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who came down to walk as one of us and as a man. And when he walked on the earth, he walked as a homeless and as a penniless instead of a multi-millionaire or a rich person, isn't it? Simply because our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned of the very fact that foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head upon. So you see, my dearly beloved, a penny in here spiritually refers to our Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation, how he died in the cross and saved each and every one of us and sanctify us through his precious blood, whereby we are made holy the very moment we accept Jesus as our personal Savior and confess and repent of our sins, so that we become a born-again child of a living God. Thereafter, the Holy Spirit will begin to indwell in our heart, isn't it? And so it is interesting to note right here that everyone that labors only receives a penny, and that spiritually refers to the fact that salvation is absolutely by grace and grace alone through faith, and it is not of yourself, but rather the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast, as written in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, by the Apostle Paul. And so in verse 3, it writes as follows, "And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So you see, my dearly beloved, as the Lord God began to call all men unto salvation, there are many that would come earlier than others, isn't it? Take for example, there are those who come to Christ perhaps 30 years ago, and there are those who come to Christ maybe 20 years ago. But keep in mind, there are also those who come to Christ perhaps 5 years ago or just recently. Nonetheless, the Lord God hath called every one of these as their laborers. So you see, my dearly beloved, we are but laborers. God's children in the sight of the Lord God are but laborers. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in Matthew chapter 9, by saying, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So you see, my dearly beloved, indeed, the genuine laborers, referring to the genuine servant of the living God, are very few. As many are called, but few are chosen. And likewise, this few refers to the sheep and the bride of Christ, who are filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit and are conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Furthermore, this few refers to the very fact that they have been faithful in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as the 2 talents and the 5 talents that is written in Matthew chapter 25. And for that reason, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, it is written as follows, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So you see, my dearly beloved, there are those servants who had been called earlier than others, and obviously every one of them are given different gifts, but the Holy Spirit, isn't it? There are those who are given but one talent, and there are those who are given but two talents, and obviously there are those who are given five talents. Much is given, much is required. But nonetheless, our Heavenly Father promised to pay them but a penny, referring to the very fact that no matter how much they have labored in the name of Jesus, salvation is but the same. In other words, we are not saved by meritocracy, but strictly by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, referring to receiving a penny. And our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to save us, and we cannot improve or earn salvation. And we must do all things as his laborers and as his faithful servant to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, isn't it? And so in verse 8 writes as follows, "So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." Verse 9, "And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee." Now, my dearly beloved, it is very interesting to note how our Lord Jesus Christ put across those that walk in the flesh versus those that walk in the spirit, isn't it? Simply because this group of people that are not happy with a penny began to murmur against the good men of the house. Now keep in mind that murmuring and complaining are the things of the flesh. And obviously the very moment you begin to walk in the flesh, you are no longer walking as a sheep, but as a goat, isn't it? As the goats are never happy and could never be satisfied with our Lord Jesus Christ alone. And the hidden manner right here revealed to the very fact that if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so if you note very carefully that they walk in the flesh and they find dissatisfactions and could not find the contentment in Christ Jesus simply because their hearts are filled with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, as well as the pleasures of this world, so that the word of our Lord Jesus Christ is being choked out, referring to the very fact that the moment these laborers that walk in their flesh love the world, obviously they are not able to find absolute joy and peace and contentment in Christ Jesus, isn't it? And as a result, they murmured against the good men, referring to our Heavenly Father. They are dissatisfied and could not find absolute joy and peace as they are bearing not the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, but rather the fruits of the flesh. For that reason, the Apostle Paul advised us in Galatians 5:16 as follows, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. And so, my dearly beloved, these groups of laborers are just like the one talent, who would complain and are filled with fear instead of joy and peace. And unlike the 2 and the 5 talent servants, as written in Matthew chapter 25, the 1 talent servants, the laborers that are filled with evil in their heart as they walk in their flesh and refuse to crucify themselves as well as deny their flesh, isn't it? And keep in mind that in Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh include adultery, fornication, uncleanness, pride, anger, craftiness, doubt, fear, idolatry, greediness, nervousness, lying, dishonesty, as well as murmuring and complaining. So you see, the very moment these laborers began to walk in the flesh, obviously what they get out of it is but the fruits of the flesh. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit are 9 of them, which include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. As written in Galatians 5:22, all of these 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit are not present with these laborers that complain and murmur against the good man, simply because they are sowing to themselves the seed of the flesh, isn't it? And as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 as follows, those that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and those of the Spirit the things of the Spirit. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And obviously in here you will notice how they have murmured and become very unhappy as they are not walking in the Spirit. And these laborers are but goats, as well as those that have been called and yet not chosen. And so as a result, they would make all kind of excuse, including verse 12 that says, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. So you see, my dearly beloved, these complaints only manifest what is within the heart and the spiritual condition of the unfaithful servant, isn't it? Not the good and faithful servant. And as a result, verse 13 writes, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So you see, my dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father called this group of laborers who complain and murmur and are filled with unhappiness as being evil. And our Lord Jesus Christ describe these groups of people as being called but not chosen. And obviously we know that these also refer to the goats and the 3rd crown, as well as the foolish virgins and the 1 talent, written in Matthew chapter 25. These are the same groups of people, even though they have been given the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they refuse to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they choose to walk in their flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. And so you see, my dearly beloved, the very moment we are born again of the Spirit of God, we've got to begin living for Jesus and not for our flesh or ourselves. And if one refuses to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit and insists to walk in his flesh or her flesh, then obviously they are not able to move forward along the path of the cross and grow in the Spirit in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Keep in mind that being God's children, as well as God's servant, we are to journey and to compete in the marathon along the path of the cross. And we've got to run this marathon just like running in any marathon competition, isn't it? For that reason, in Hebrews chapter 12, writes as follows, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So you see, my dearly beloved, we are but running in a race, and this particular race can only be run with patience and long sufferings, simply because without patience, we can never steadfastly bear the rest of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And patience is the first and fundamental element that will produce the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. Furthermore, in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul also mentioned as follows, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So you see, my dearly beloved, in here, the Apostle Paul also reminds us that we are to forget those things which are behind and fight the good fight of faith and run the course towards the mark of the supreme and heavenly prize in Christ Jesus, isn't it? As written in the Amplified Bible, and that we are to target and run competing in this particular race in order to receive the crown of life from our Savior, isn't it? And so many times as God's children, we tend to forget, and the power of darkness tend to decipher each and every one of us away from the course that would lead us unto eternity. And many times the power of darkness would tempt us to look at the left and at the right, as well as the things of the world and the cares of this world, to the point that we are off focus as well as off course, as we got entangled with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, as well as the lust of other things, to the point that we have fallen into Satan's trap instead of running quickly along the path of the cross to the finish line, just like a marathon and a race. For that reason, we've got to pay very close attention to the Word of God and meditate upon the Word of God, as well as spending quiet time every single day before the Lord God and the throne of grace, reading the Word of God and acting upon His instructions, isn't it? We must also practice godliness and separate unto righteousness, simply because The Lord God is holy, and the Holy Spirit himself that indwelt within our heart would be grieved the very moment we got ourselves entangled into the things that defileth, as we walk in our flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. And it is very important as God's children, the very moment we have faltered into the things of the flesh, to quickly repent of it and get up and return along the path of the cross by abiding in Christ Jesus and putting his words within our heart, so that we do not stifle the Holy Spirit that indwelt within us. So you see, my dearly beloved, what makes the spiritual journey so difficult to journey? Because the power of darkness is invisible to the carnal mind, as well as our physical eyesight. It takes the presence of the Holy Spirit to unveil the power of darkness. And the very moment we walk in our flesh, which is an enemy of the life of Christ, as our flesh belongs to the power of darkness, and if we refuse to crucify our flesh, then obviously the Holy Spirit is unable to bloom the life of Christ that is within us. So you see, my dearly beloved, even though you could be born again 20 years ago or 10 years ago, but until unless you practice godliness and crucifixion of your old flesh and walking according to the word of God, you would be the last one instead of being the first, simply because someone could have been born again of the Spirit of God much later than you are. But the very fact that that brother or sister in Christ is willing to crucify himself or herself and begin to grow, leap and bound spiritually much faster than you and run ahead of you, ultimately, as that person is but the sheep of the Lord and manifests spiritual growth and life abundantly, while you walk in your flesh and refuse to be dealt with, as you refuse to mortify the deeds of your flesh. For that reason, you see, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ says right here in verse 16, "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." So you see, my dearly beloved, there are people out there, just like I mentioned earlier, that came to Christ early and yet falter along the path of the cross and got deciphered by the cares of this world, by the things of the world, that even though they go to fellowship week after week after week, yet spiritually they are not able to grow, simply because the Word of God is not to be read alone, but more importantly is to be acted upon. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you continue to live according to the word of the Lord God, then obviously you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and you shall be free indeed. So you see, my dearly beloved, you could be called a lot earlier than others, and yet those who came to Christ and journeyed, obeying the commandment of God diligently, would end up running much faster than you. And obviously we know that those that have walked victoriously in Christ Jesus are but the sheep of the Lord God, isn't it? And even though they could be born again later than you, yet they have outrun you in the spiritual journeys, as they have dealt their flesh with discipline, while you have floundered and not deal in your flesh, isn't it? Nonetheless, just as the Apostle Paul advised us in his last word prior to departure from the temporal, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 as follows. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So you see, my dearly beloved, the course of the race that is set before us, apart from being run with patience, the Apostle Paul continued to tell us that we've got to fight it with a good fight in order for each and every one of us to successfully finish the course and obviously kept the faith in order for us to receive a crown of righteousness which the Lord someday will give us at the end of that journey. Now, my dearly beloved, what touched my heart most in this particular parable was the very fact that our Lord Jesus Christ described himself but a penny. And personally, myself, I never liked a penny. I felt a penny is worthless, isn't it? And that's exactly how the world looked at our Lord Jesus Christ. They despise our Lord Jesus Christ simply because they do not believe him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as well as our Savior. They look down upon our Lord Jesus Christ with a spirit of unbelief and doubt from the power of darkness. And it is interesting to note that apart from being the smallest unit, a penny in here is considered as worthless, isn't it? But what is despicable and worthless in the sight of the world, our Savior is so wonderful and precious in each and every one of the eyes of the sheep and the bride of Christ, to the point that one of the author write as follows in the hymns of the old rugged cross. In this particular hymn, the writer writes our Lord Jesus Christ and the cross as follows. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I loved that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So you see, my dearly beloved, indeed, in the eyes of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ is but a penny, worthless, despicable. But to each and every one of God's children and to the genuine believers, what is worthless and a penniless Savior has a wondrous attraction for me simply because it was in the cross that the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary in order to save you and I for eternity from the lake of fire, bringing us forever to be with him, restoring a beautiful, loving relationship once again with our Heavenly Father. Verse 18, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. So you see, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ came down, meek and lowly, and he calls himself in this particular parable, Barapani. And not only he calls himself a penny, keep in mind, one of the most important reasons that our Lord Jesus Christ named himself but a penny is to illustrate the very fact that no man can serve two masters, as written in Matthew chapter 6, that says, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So you see, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ's main emphasis is eternity, and the temporal is so unimportant, especially the things of mammon, simply because the things of mammon belong to the power of darkness, belong to Satan. The very moment as God's children, our hearts are filled with the things of mammon, we have fallen into the trap of Satan. And that alone would prevent us from journeying along the path of the cross. And if our master calls himself but a penny, do you think as his servant we would be able to journey, putting within our heart the things of mammon and more than the penny? So you see, my dearly beloved, keep in mind, as God's servant, we can never journey along the path of the cross, putting within our hearts more than a penny, isn't it? Otherwise, we will end up like these people, like these laborers that would complain and dissatisfied with a penny. And so you see, my dearly beloved, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither the student greater than the master or the teacher, isn't it? And so if our Lord Jesus Christ calls himself but a penny, and obviously he took the lowest denominator of mammon in order to teach us one precious truth, that the temporal is but a drop of water amidst the ocean of eternity, and that our heart and mind must never permit or allow the temporal to affect the things of eternal, as we journey and run this particular race that is set before us, so that we can successfully and victoriously run this marathon and this race joyfully, finishing the course just as the Apostle Paul, waiting for the crown of righteousness as we meet our Master face to face someday, as we depart from our temporal into eternity. For that reason, my dearly beloved, as our Lord Jesus Christ came down, written in verse 18 and 19, and revealed the very fact that he was about to be betrayed and be killed to die on the cross, in order for you and I to be safe, keep that in mind. As his faithful servant, we can only follow the footstep of the risen Savior by crucifying ourselves together with him and mortifying the deeds of the flesh, so that the life of Christ would be manifested in us, in order for each and every one of us to walk as his faithful servant. Verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, my dearly beloved, in here, you will discover that the mother of Zebedee's children, referring to the Apostle John and James, obviously his brother, was petitioning that they would sit on the right hand and on the left hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. And little did they know what they are petitioning was a difficult thing, simply because our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned right here by saying, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. So you see, my dearly beloved, when they say unto our Lord Jesus Christ by saying we are able, at that point of time, they did not know what they were talking about, simply because our Lord Jesus Christ would have to be sacrificed in the cross in order for salvation to be finally accomplished and finished. And to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ obviously include the very fact that they too would have to be sacrificed and suffered in the name of Jesus. And obviously, our Lord Jesus Christ says, indeed, they were able, as John and James also suffered in the name of Jesus. And James died being sawn asunder for the sake of Christ, while John was being thrown into Patmos Island, where he was given revelations to write in the book of Revelation, isn't it? But nonetheless, our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned of the very fact that it is not in his power to give who to sit on his left or right, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of our Heavenly Father, isn't it? And so when they were talking about sitting at the right hand and the left hand of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, at that point of time, all they were thinking was having a line of thought of a position of honor, being next to Jesus, which obviously, in their carnal mind, had resulted the rest of the 10 disciples to begin fighting and was filled with indignation against the two brethren. And as a result, our Lord Jesus Christ had to explain that the laws of the kingdom of heaven is just right the opposite of the laws on the earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned of the very fact that in the earth, the princes exercise dominion over them, and that they that are great exercise authority upon them, while in the kingdom of heaven is right the opposite. And it says in verse 26, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." So you see, my dearly beloved, in the kingdom of heaven, the greatest are those that are humble like a little child. And those who serve in the name of Jesus will be chief instead of those being served by others, isn't it? Likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ also mentioned of the very fact that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, referring of the very fact that our Lord Jesus Christ had to lay down his life, suffered the cruel death and much torment in the cross in order to give his life a ransom for each and every one of us and deliver us from eternal damnation. Verse 29, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Verse 32, "And Jesus stood still, and called them, and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they follow him." Now, my dearly beloved, as we finalize this particular chapter, there is a very precious lesson for each and every one of us to note. The very fact that these two blind persons have cried unto our Lord Jesus Christ with all of their hearts and mind and soul, to the point that even though they receive obstructions, as the multitude rebuked them, they continue to cry even louder, to the point that our Lord Jesus Christ finally stood still and called them. And the very moment our Lord Jesus Christ says, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" they say unto our Lord by saying that our eyes may be opened. And so our Lord Jesus Christ heard their request out of compassion and touched their eyes and healed them immediately, so that they also followed our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my dearly beloved, let me ask you a question. Our Lord Jesus Christ is more than able to heal each and every one of us, not just physical blindness, but more importantly, spiritual blindness. Simply because the Apostle John tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 1 that says, in him was life, and life was the light of men. And so if you're spiritually walking in darkness, you are just like one of these two blind men. But the question is this, is your heart like these two blind men? Are you crying to our Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, soul, and mind, asking for mercy and compassion as you walk in the path of darkness instead of light? And that you have led a life filled with sins and absolute darkness instead of godliness and light, isn't it? If you felt that way, when you hear my voice, may I petition before you to cry with all of your heart, soul, and mind unto our Lord Jesus Christ, just like this two blind men, so that as you shout and cry for mercy from your heart, thereafter our Lord Jesus Christ is able to touch your eyes, and behold, your eyes would receive sight, and so that you would be able to journey hand in hand once again with our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Be sure to humble your hearts so that you would receive the riches of his grace and the healing of your spiritual eyesight, just like these two blind men. As God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through his words today. May we all learn to worship our Lord God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to serve him only. May we find our joy in Christ Jesus as our strength, and let us run the race that is set before us patiently and victoriously. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.